Be spiritual at least to that degree. Manifest some of it, at least a little of it. Then you'll be doing the job and doing it well. No. I like every one of those men that go up to those conventions and spout. But just stop and think. Had they lined up, as I've been lining up, and I got a lot of criticism, and no question about it, it's not a rose, a bed of roses. But had they lined up with me, how much more help would we all have together? When I alone been able to do this, the very idea even of me going and talking to the Queen for 2 hours was more than if I had talked for 2 hours with Eisenhower, because the Queen is respected higher than any president in the world. That was a prestige right there. Yet what the Sausage Group do around the world? They scoffed over it when they had a golden nugget in their hand by which to support themselves. Not because of me. I was only just an avenue. I'm here today and gone tomorrow, and the thing will keep on living. All right. So what service did they render? They more abused it. And I'll tell you, when those that have read the article about me in the Time magazine, well, I'll tell you how that happened, so you will understand why that kind of an article. Very comical. In the first place, I was taken to Holland in secrecy. I did give one TV broadcast. Then from there on, I was hidden in the outskirts of Hague in a beautiful, small, private hotel. Reporters did not know how to find me. They only could talk to the man that was supposed to be responsible for my publicity. So then, when the palace guard came up too, it took me away secretly, but major highway, but not the normal highway that the palace guard travels on. Two, if there was any reporters anywhere standing around, would stop the car, they wouldn't be there, because they didn't know which way I'd be brought. Got to the palace, few guards, and that's all. That went on a Monday, on the 18th of May. At 11 o'clock, I got to the palace that morning. At 1 o'clock, I left it. All right. I already was 20 minutes behind, because it took us half an hour to get back, for my lecture. The place was filled to the brim. People outside and everywhere, and reporters as well. Okay? So, we got there. But when we were coming back, on a Monday, it would have been on a Sunday, would have been different. But this was on a Monday. There was at least 10,000 people before the gates of that palace. V-bowing and saluting and everything else. I felt like a 2-cent piece. And when I did get out of that palace car, give the lecture, and then when I walked the streets of Hague, everybody's saluting you. Drugstore you go in, or they call it chemistry, and all of that. Wherever you go, they salute you. You wonder what it's all about, because you're not accustomed to that. You don't know nothing about it. Then you ask. Then they tell you, anybody that appears before the Queen and is publicized to the people, it's an honor that they grant you, they salute you then. That's why the salutes. But none of that affected me that way. But what I have left there did affect me. Because when the reporters came up after my lecture, because when I got up on that platform, I just told the people, which was all Hollanders, I says, if there were more people like your lovely Queen in this world as leaders of nations, the world would be in peace. And that's all in the one of my lecture. So after that, the reporter wanted to know what the Queen had to say, and the only answer I could give, and that was the proper answer to give, and that is, it's a Queen's honor to speak first. After she speaks, I'll speak. To this day, she has not spoken publicly, neither have I, what we said. What I got in this book is very little what's been said at that time. But this is what she did do, without going out and blabbing all over the world what conversation took place. When I came home, she asked for more pictures, more literature. I also recommended Desmond Leslie to give her some and others that I knew were genuine. Because all of them are not genuine, and you'd be amazed how many of them are not. Not because me putting myself up there, no, I says that tomorrow may be gone. But the thing will stand, and time will prove it. So finally, they got all this stuff together. They made up a picture system of 35 millimeter, and I have one at home, that they sent to me, similar to that Disney's program type. And the literature was made up, and last fall, all the schools of Holland were studying it. It went in the schools of Holland. That's how she spoke. Now, England, Australia, New Zealand, and others are studying what effect it will have on the kids or so forth, or benefits. When they find it is beneficial, which is now beginning to show to be, next year we'll be hearing those nations employing the same system. And yet, here, all of you people, not only here, but all over the United States, could be doing things like that. And what are you doing? You're hoping that you'll see another sighting, and all sightings are alike. You're hoping that some spaceman will come and knock on your door, satisfy your ego, instead of serving with what knowledge you already have. Doing good for those that want to be done unto, that are hungry for the knowledge you have. No. All the things you must do. The Queen didn't go out there squabble. I didn't talk about it. All was done quietly. Now the children are getting educated. Yeah. Now you heard a lot about international bankers. Let me quote a state a little bit on that. There is no such a thing as a control of international bankers over the situation. That's false. 100% false. But what they are called as international bankers are under another control of someone bigger than themselves. And they're victims of the someone bigger. And that's where I got in Dutch in Zurich, because I run in face to face with that very same gang. Did you ever ask yourself this question? I have many times. Jesus got in trouble when he chased the money changers out of the temple. From there on, he got in trouble and finally crucified. But you never hear anyone or any kind of literature saying anything about what happened to the money changers. They really quietly moved on and moved on until they today control the world through the monetary system, including your own nation, and Russia as well. I ran into that gang. Betcha. This particular system is known. The Swiss bank, you could steal $1 million from the U.S. government today, and if they don't catch you and you can get that $1 million over in the Swiss bank, you're free. Nobody can prosecute you. You got $1 million. Oh, yes. That's the silent group. And you know why? I have learned this much on that trip. Took a big chance, but I took it. They can only kill me once. And that is, how many people here in the audience know that Switzerland sells more electricity to Europe than the United States, with all its machinery, selling to its people? Their investments are in that, because without power, the wheels of industry, everything stops. The world is on wheels. Now here we're threatening them with a free power such as the space people are using. What would happen to them? The money changes back would be broken, wouldn't it? They got to fight, and they do fight. And they put out a lot of confused ideas, and I'm wondering sometimes, some of these speakers that are running around, and even speaking of the international bankers, and so forth, are not sometimes playing right in their hands, which I believe they are. Maybe innocently, maybe directly, I don't know. Well, they are playing in the hand because each bit of confusion added onto the confusion already manifesting makes it that much harder to bring the truth out. Yes, sir. I could have made a lot of money. They want to bribe me. I put some in the book here, but I didn't put all of it that I'd like to because I want to still go back there once more, and I want to live to come back. So I modified it, kind of mild it down, but I have been approached on a bribe basis there before I left, and I got plenty of witnesses to that right at Boswell. They were present when that bribe was made. Okay. Now, here's another thing that I want to mention here. I'm going to read something here, and this is what you should guide yourself by, really. You should guide yourself by this very method. Let some, all of them, I'm not here to condemn no one. I'm just telling you what the facts are and what we must do to really go to town, if we are going to go to town, and save our even our own necks from annihilation. Now here, in my book, this is my answer to the critics. I have mentioned of many things already. The discovery of water vapor in the atmosphere of Venus by the U.S. scientists during the November of 1959 led to the expert to conclude that some sort of life might exist on Venus. Within 2 weeks, scientists who participated in the news conference at the NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C., agreed that life on Venus seemed more probable as a result of the discovery of the planet's atmosphere containing water vapor. Now, I'm not going to read everything. It's all in the book, and the book went on the market yesterday, so I'm going to be like Mr. Bedroom. Here's my book. I never did that before, but I have to read from it today, so I'm kind of mentioned that. But anyway, here's another one. During February 1960, a surprising statement was issued by Dr. Edwin Pendentry, a founder of the American Rocket Society. Venus may turn out to be a wonderful place to live. We don't know much about its surface because we cannot see it, but it is about the same size as the Earth and near the sun. It may be Florida all over. Yet when I said that I met people from Venus and life in the planet's atmosphere and all that was a lot better than that, they kind of criticized me and made fun of the whole situation. And now these things are coming. What I said there in 1952 took all this time to finally come forth, and our Sputniks and instruments and not are proving me correct. Now, interesting fact on the planetary atmosphere was brought to the light January 1960 by Dr. Roger Revelle of Scripps Institute. And this is on your carbon monoxide that they're talking so much about that might kill us. And you probably heard about that Jupiter's supposed to have nothing but carbon monoxide gas that people could not live on it. This is in reference to that. Scripps Institute in La Jolla. Dr. Revelle stated that Earthmen are greatly increasing the amount of carbon dioxide in their atmospheres, they burn more coal, oil, and natural gas. He predicted that an increase of perhaps 20% in our atmosphere carbon dioxide in the next 100 years, that could mean 100% increase in the Earth's atmosphere carbon dioxide is in less than 500 years. Perhaps our scientists will discover that there is a relationship between the amount of carbon dioxide in the planet's atmosphere and the age of the planet's civilization. That's one of them. Now we've got one down here on the moon. I'm going to only read a few. Some of you may already have the book. You can read it for yourself, and I don't want to occupy the time reading from the book. At the space conference in Nice, France, due in January in 1960, Darrell Harold Urey of the University of California told the colleagues that the moon may not be a dead planet as has been supposed. He said there is still a reason to believe there is a radiation around the moon, now proven fact, which suggests various life-giving components, including water underneath the moon's surface. Dr. Raymond Dietrich of the University of Maryland stated in December 1959, that the existence of some kind of life on the moon cannot be ruled out. There's only a few things here. I've got quite a few documented effects here that you can back yourself up on a lot of things now. Yet these things I have stated in my book, Inside a Spaceship. I also mentioned, if you remember, about the radiation that we were putting up by exploding bombs. Sure, I didn't know the man at that time, Mr. Vela, after whom this radiation belt has now been named. He finally discovered it up there. But it wasn't there before we put it up there with atomic bombs. Now we were trying to find a way to dissipate it because it's a dangerous path through which we have to move out of our own atmosphere into outer space. All those things, a number of things, a whole mess of them in there that I have stated right here in San Francisco 6 years ago in Elsewhere, and then wrote it in a book in 1955, Inside the Spaceships. Now, these turned out to be the truth. Facts. I'm not bragging because I'm not to be credited with what was placed in those books. Because if it wasn't for the brothers giving me the truth at that time, I wouldn't have had it. And had I not gone out on those ships at the same time, I wouldn't have seen it. Yet these things are being brought out today. Every day where we shoot out something out there that the instruments register back to our Earth, something that I have mentioned before is brought out. Now, how would you prove who is who had real contact and who didn't? Not by me, say, so I can lie same as you can. I don't know of any man that is not a liar to some extent. We've been brought up that way in this world, even though they may be white lies. See? But I'll tell you, some men do tell the truth here and there, and that truth sooner or later will be known. And in this case, I have told the truth in some degree anyway, because it has now proven itself. So that is the only thing you can judge a man by. And that's all. Sure, you can dream up fancy things in your mind. Your mind is very tricky. But will those fancy things prove themselves in due time? Is the big question. And you can't use that dream without that dream manifesting where it may benefit you and benefit you right now while you're living here. So you see, you must finally, regardless what happens. People like to go to Venus. Well, if they can't get along, how the devil are they going to get along on Venus when the civilization is a little bit better than this one even? They can't get along with their own. How are they going to get along with something advanced ahead of them? They better start doing something here and prove themselves, or at least graduate to that degree, to where they be admitted to the next grade, instead of do a lot of talking and wishful thinking. Wishful thinking ain't gonna fill your stomach. But a good apple that God had produced on that apple tree even shook it down by his emotions, that it fell to the earth, and then you didn't even have to climb it to pick it up, to pull it off, or just stoop over and pick it up and eat it. But until you do eat it and digest it, that apple won't do you a bit of good with it. No matter how many things God produced, it wouldn't still do you any good. Unless you allow that apple to become a part of you by eating. So you see, we've got to get down to some decent basis. And I know every one of you present are serious, or you wouldn't be here. They'd like to see this thing go through. And like to save this beautiful world, that your children may enjoy it as well as you did, and even better because you left it better. But unless you do something about it, unless you apply the knowledge that God granted to you through these space people and others, your own scientist, and put it to work. Each day, those children that will follow you will have a miserable time if they ever even be allowed to live. Because if you don't do something like that, some crazy guy going to push a wrong button, and next thing you know, everything is blowing up. The earth will be here, but you won't be here. You betcha. And while I'm speaking on that point, let me state this. I've been told since I've been in San Francisco, and what a little faith, with all the knowledge that is at hand, and yet so little faith, that some of our people, like yourselves, that have been in doubt with the knowledge of a space people and all of that, are digging gopher holes to hide themselves from radiation. Gopher holes. How much of a gopher do you think you're going to be? How long can you stay under that ground? Science do admit and tell you that once bombs start falling in time of a war, there'll be thousands of them falling per day. That'll take anything from 25 to 75 years to clear that atmosphere. Can you supply that little gopher hole with all that time to supply yourself and keep on living in that gopher hole? You'll have to come out in 30 days at least to breathe some of that air, and that air is going to have to be full of it, and the gopher's knocked out by sniffing that air, which will be you. Oh, what a little fate. I wouldn't build one of them. If anything like that comes, I want to be there, the last man, to see what's going to happen. I want to remember the drama, because I can take that light, take that part of knowledge with me, and how stupid that civilization really was, called itself highly developed. That's something to go by. You see, I wouldn't hide. When you hide on a hole like that, what do you see? What's going on? You don't see nothing. You only see the hole. But it shows you how little faith even the people that are interested in this particular phase of knowledge, in the relationship of ourselves to other planets and there to us. And they've been granted wonders already. And look what I'm doing with it. Somebody says they're going to be some bomb dropping. They start digging a gopher hole. Hide their faces, hide themselves away from it. Spending all kind of money and probably draining some poor widow's last nickel. No. If God can't protect you, no man will. So don't be that foolish. Yes, there are spots on this earth that will be free of anything like that, even free in some cases when our earth finally settles down, still moving. But it's not going to be a major catastrophe. Maybe a million people throughout maybe lose their lives through their own ignorance. Mostly, because they'll be warned plenty of times. Now the question is, will they believe enough to get the devil out of that danger spot or not? That's be the question. But it won't be anything major, like been promoted, I'll assure you that. But there are spots, even cases like that, where a certain conditions will prevail there, what will not prevail anywhere else. And you don't have to go in no gopher hole. Stay right on the surface and see the stars every night, like you do today. Now, for instance, you should have known this if you studied at all. These things you must study because you're living in this world. Jesus said, I'm in a world, but not of it. But he complied with the world just the same while he was in it. And you too must do the same thing. Every one of us must. Okay, that's why you're here, to learn that lesson, not to run away from it. But here, when the Russians started blowing off their bombs again, our radio and TV came out and said so. That a lot of that radiation, and they're watching it right now, a lot of that radiation will hit Japan and the United States. By what method? Why don't it hit Switzerland and other places like that? The reason why it doesn't hit there, because it follows the Japanese air currents. You get in San Francisco, you get the Japanese trade winds, and you get this wind blowing up here in certain spots every now and then. The trade winds, it follows that. That's why we'd get it, and we're beginning to watch for it now. Even today on your own radios, it came out and said that it were testing our territory for increased radiation. So far, it showed up. All because of trade winds. Now, wherever the trade winds go, if you study it proper, and where they don't go, you're free of the heavy radiation. But where they do go, you're not. So there are spots on Earth that are safe. Others are not. But that calls for a study. And this is not a hokey-pokey idea that somebody's going to be saved by saying hokey-pokey and you're saved. Oh, no. You'll have to move from one spot to another and get to that spot there where it's going to be saved when it comes to that point. But there should be no fear, because a man that is governed by fear usually loses life by fear. So there should never be any fear connected. But faith in the Almighty itself especially, and your confidence of yourself being able to do something about it, is what will count in any time. That's the whole thing. You know, now I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not a politician, so I'm not boosting this man up for a new job. But it was amazing to me for a high official to make a statement that, like I'm about to make to you. 2 weeks ago or so, on Channel 13 in Los Angeles, former Governor Knight of your state was appearing in the place of Dukin Place. Dukin was sick. So he was answering a question. An actress that sits there by him and puts up questions to him that come in over the telephone. Now he would answer these questions. I watched him. So somebody shot a question over to him, and he said, "Do you believe in flying saucers?" He said, "Well, what does he mean? Believe in UFOs?" And the party says, "Yes." I was amazed, because he is speculating, the group of people are speculating to run him for an office for a governor again. And he mentioned that night, too. He didn't know whether he was going to run or not, but he said, "The people want me, I will oblige them." But he come right out and he said, "Why, of course I believe in him. Why shouldn't I?" He says, "Billions of planets up there, why should we be the only ones inhabiting one little planet here?" That's what he said publicly over the air. All right? Then he says, "Look, when the Wright brothers made the first plane, when the steam engine came along," I'm quoting one now for the words they said, as I remember them, "everybody laughed that they wouldn't work. But look where we are with them. They did work. I'm not going to stop progress. No, not at all. Past is past. I want to go ahead." That's where he ended. That was a big step he's taken, a big statement he made, because he was an official. He ought to know, if anybody knows, because all the officials know more than the public knows, what transpired in our skies during the last, say, 12, 15 years. They're on the inside. But him coming right out there, and even this actress that put the question to him that came over the lines, looked at him so funny, he was really surprised, so was everybody else. So again, but they will not play around with things of a mystical nature. That's one thing they'll none of them support. And you can't blame them. You just can't blame them, because they leave out the majority of the people that should know likewise. They should know the truth. No. And you will find that same thing in every high official. He was to answer you point blank, he would answer the same way as former Governor Knight did that night on Channel 13. They all can give you the same answer. There is no such a thing as this belief. All right. Let me quote what Eisenhower said before he left the office about 6 months prior. He was asked by the press if there is any flying saucers. He didn't say there wasn't or there was, but this is what he said. He said, according to General so-and-so, there are no flying saucers. He says, according to General so-and-so, there are no flying saucers. And he left it that way. 10 days later, he had another press conference. The press approached him another way. This time said to him, Mr. President, had there been any flying saucers landed? And he answered, he said, if they had not, it would have been a mistake. Meaning that they were. If they had not, it would have been a mistake, and that's where he left it. They all know. And when a group comes out with a convention and get the funny stuff going like regular circus, they think they're a bunch of psychopaths and those people cannot be believed anything, and they just write them up every which way. Because it's a sideshow, there's really nothing sincere about. People gather around, you might as well have a big picnic and discuss pro and con, like a good gathering, and exchange ideas, and you do better that way than you would by blasting it off and saying that it's a flying saucer. And, well, if it's flying saucer, people want a convention. They'll bring their ships in there with also their speakers. Don't worry. It's all right for an outing and get together. That part I go for. But it doesn't have to be named Flying Saucer Convention. One of these days you're going to have, and I'm going to tell you, it's not far off. You're going to have one of the biggest, you might say, gatherings of space-interested people that are with feet on the ground that you ever had in the history of man. And that might take place right in Washington, D.C. Interplanetary Congress is already in operation for that purpose. There'll not only be people like me and you that know little something and stand on a good solid foundation that can walk up into Congress. And speaking of Congress, this fall I will be talking to the new Congress. And also the United Nations. Again, that's all been set. The plans have been set. All right? But it'll be scientists, pilots, men that had the experience that took these things by their bodies, like I'm holding this mic. Be all this type of men talking, telling the world what goes on. Where will these dreamers be? Hey, dream, can it present a dream in the form of a mic? You talk about a mic, here it is. It can't present a dream in the form of a mic. That's what's going to be presented. I've been in a laboratory for 8 days where ships of models are flying around. You're like so many little balloons of various sizes. We're not so far behind. In philosophy of life, in society life, and relationship in society, we're maybe thousands of years behind the Venetians. But when it comes to science, give us another 5 years and we'll have to be up to them. Why? Because they are helping us. They're here. They're not running around and say, here I am. Did you get a good sighting of me? Did you get a good picture of me? They don't do that, oh no. They're working hard day and night while you're sleeping and talking about them. They're working in someone's laboratory. Some government there, showing our scientists how to work with this and with work that, to get us out to do outer space as quick as we can get out there before we blow our heads off with an atomic bomb. Yes, sir. They didn't come here with the idea of saving you and I. Why the hell should they save us? Pardon my English. Who the devil are we to be saved? We have no wings showing on our shoulders that we've so good. If they look close enough, they might find a couple of horns try to come through. But no wings. See? Because we can't get along with ourselves. Within ourselves. And with our neighbors still theirs. So what did they want to save a rotten apple for? They can't use it on their planet. And since we got started right decaying here, they might as well decay here. Why take it somewhere else and start other apples to start decaying? See? No, they didn't. But even a year or so ago, we were told by our own men, by our own scientists, which have great prestige throughout the world, that our sun changed its polarity. And just like this. Here's our sun, we say, is a north pole or south pole. Been running this way for a long time. All of a sudden it changes its polarity, reverses itself. It not only affected our planet and our system, but affected every planet in the system. And by seeing, now supposing something happened to this floor, I'm on it, I wouldn't know it. But if I was above the floor and saw the floor move, I would know so what was happening. Because I'm looking down on it instead of being on it. Well, they went out in the outer space the same way. To get out into space, look back at their own planets. What is happening to them? And every one of our planets are affected. Not only the Earth. The Earth going through a special change because of its cycle. But every one of them are being affected one way or another through this change of polarity by the sun. So they're observing that also for their own good as well as ours. They are able to stand out there with the ship and look back at the planet and see how she's shifting, how she's rolling, just like you look back. If you're in a car, you don't know if the wheel on the car is wobbling. You may be bumping something and you say it's a rough road. But if you were standing outside and let that car go by, you see what wheel is wobbling. Well, that's the same thing with them. So they're out there with purely scientific observations in general. In the meantime, try to help us out of our own difficulty. So, I might say, we can be thankful, really thankful. We have been blessed with people from another planet to take interest enough to try to help us out of a dilemma, save our lives, and better our lot while we're here on Earth yet. That the society may live better than they have in the past. We really have been blessed. Blessings of God come in strange ways, and this one of the strange ways it did come. And look what a mockery we're making out of it. You know, I wonder sometimes, I see these gray-haired people like myself, that really are 1 foot in the grave and the other one is on the borrowing time, and can slip any time. They still have nerve enough to get up there and bellow this and bellow that and confuse the public when they know that they're only doing it because they want a little prestige or a little pat on the shoulder or another dollar. I say people like that are challenging God or a supreme being somewhere. Somebody is above this whole thing. They're challenging to the last moment of their eyes being open on this earth. And they know not what hour or minute they may have to be closed. Well, I'm not a coward. I'm not afraid of man, God, or the devil, or I wouldn't be speaking here today. But I'm not cool enough to make my lot for the future worse than it is. Because what I sow now, I'll have to reap, whether it be here or wherever it may be. I had a good life. Never had plenty, but plenty enough to keep me going nicely. And what's the use of extra loads anyway? You have to carry it on your back, it'll load you down so much more and you can't run so fast. So, have enough, that makes it easy for you, and that's all that's necessary. You can't wear only one suit of clothes at a time, things like that. So I can't kick. But to make it worse than that, would be a folly on my side. I'd be the one being fooled. not the creator. And yet we find challenges like that all the time, every day, for prestige, for another dollar. Prestige may last you here for an hour, maybe 2 days, maybe 2 years, maybe 10 years, maybe a lifetime. But you can't take that prestige ticket and land on Venus with it. Or anywhere else. But what good deeds you do towards your fellow man that may better his lot a little bit better will go with you through eternity, because that's the real part of you. So, friends, I'm telling you, I just hope that I have not hurt anyone because I denounced these other things that you've been accustomed to listening to. You can have picnics, you can have a good time, any way and every way you might find it, and how you're going to be able to organize it. But please, leave the saucer people and saucers out of it. Don't degrade them any more than they have been degraded. Because it's just as bad as it is sacrilegious. They're not holy people. They don't want to be worshipped. They don't want no religions made after them. They did not come here. And frankly speaking, we got too darn many religions now. That's why they're such a mess. Gosh, the Egyptians wouldn't win a peace because they were worshipping 450 different gods. No two people worship the same God in those days, it seemed like. And here we've got 900 and something major denominations in our own country. It's no wonder we don't know who the Creator is. And still adding some more. No, my friends, let it be this way. That sun, those stars, that canopy of the sky, is not a respecter of persons. It shines on the sinner and the saint alike. Doesn't glorify one above the other. And if you want to know who your Creator really is, he can't be any different than his creation. He's not going to favor you or me or nobody. But what you do will be a favor in your behalf. You will have to make the bed in which you're going to sleep in. He gives you the material to do it with. It's up to you to do it. So thank you, and may God bless you.